Mayor, when you look back over the first halves of the last three games and see the lack of production, what stands out? What's going wrong early in games?
Just the execution of the plays, you know, just running the plays. And, you know, it's a case where we're in a situation where success is going to breed success and failure is going to breed failure. So what we have to do is we have to have a good play. We have to have a good block. We have to have a good play, then another good play, then a good drive, then a touchdown drive, and then do it again. And that's where I'm saying success will breed success. And when we stub our toe in the first drive and then we're down, we got to just focus on just being what is our job and what do we need to do individually. So, you know, we're making a big emphasis on taking care of your own business and just focusing on that. Just can you what am I doing? What am I putting on tape? What am I doing in the game? And then you get 11 guys doing that, you're going to have success on the play. And that's the situation we're in right now.
Have you seen a snowball effect in the other direction where some of the struggles have just turned into other struggles?
Yeah, sometimes we're letting the situation of the game affect how we play as opposed to just playing football. Going out there, we get the ball back, let's play our football and let's do our job on that individual play, and we'll have success with the play and not allowing the what's happening in the game affect how you play.
Aaron, the focus seemed to be a very seemingly almost an obvious strength of this offense a year ago. Same players, it's totally different. Just the injuries, or what do you make of that? It seems almost confounding. That
it is because we're used to, like you said, we're used to being productive and not having focus issues you know, we can't have false starts put us behind the chains. You know, if you get a holding call or you get a call like that, I mean, that's you don't want it, but it might happen. But you can't have a false start penalty and all of a sudden be behind the chains. And it you can't get an answer out of the guy that does it, to be honest, right now. And that's where I'm saying, if we just get – it's like anything in life, getting the momentum – of success going and just having that feel that I can do it, because they know they can. We have good players. We just got to put it together.
When did you start to see these sorts of issues, or when did they start to crop up? Was it something that's happened over the course of the season? Did you see these sorts of things pop up in training camp? When was the first time you started to notice?
No, we haven't had the You're referring to a false start or...
Well, just the focus issues in general.
I don't know if there's focus issues in general. I mean, you're going out there to block Matthews on a 3rd and 7, and a guy jumps a snap a little bit, and the ball wasn't snapped. I mean, that's... I don't know if that's a lack of focus. It's not what you want. But I wouldn't say that... The team is lacking focus because a guy false starts trying to jump a snap on 3rd and long.
Aaron, the Vikings like to create a lot of single opportunities using those double-A looks. What's it like from a communication standpoint for your whole line knowing they're going to see those muzzle looks a lot?
Yeah, you know, that's they've done a nice job in Minnesota, you know, taking his defense from Cincinnati and moving it up there. And obviously we played Cincinnati in the first game last year. So we have some familiarity with it. They do a great job putting pressure on the quarterback. When you refer back and you look at Tampa Bay game they played, New Orleans, and just the games that you're watching on these guys, they're hitting the quarterback. And that's where teams have to do a good job of protecting quickly, throwing quickly, and getting the ball off. And they know that. That's the type of football they're trying to put out there. Now, if you get the ball off, are they putting their DBs in a position where it's tough on them? Yeah. But they're expecting to get to the quarterback before you can do that.
With Everson Griffin specifically, what do you see that's created his success?
Everson's done a good job of growing as a football player. you know, just watching him in the last couple of years. The number one thing he's doing is he gets off the football quickly. And so he's creating that penetration on the offense with his get off, you know, just keying the football, and his quickness gets you. So, you know, you have to match that quickness with your get off, and you know, it's good to be home when you're in a situation like that where noise won't be an issue.
Brandon Marshall talked about the confidence issue or not having losing confidence when you lose, you know, at the rate you guys are losing. Where's Jay's confidence at this point of the season, would you say?
I think Jay will have the confidence that to make plays. And when I say make plays, just executing the offense, throwing where he's supposed to throw and throwing it on time. As he gets one in a row, you know, we've been watching tape and just seeing the plays that we do make, and describing the execution that's happening in that play to our players on a daily basis, to try to breed that feeling of success and confidence, and we're going to continue to do that until it shows on the field.
When you were talking about the momentum of success, is that applied to Jay as well? That, you know, when things go bad, you know, his mechanics go bad, everything just kind of keeps domino effect. But the same thing, if he can get into a rhythm, the positives come out.
Absolutely. If you know, like I said, success will breed success, and it doesn't take more than one play. One play will do it, and you feel good about it, and you just it's. We're talking a lot about things that are just basics. When we say confidence, we're saying that we know the guy's going to be where he's supposed to be when we throw the ball. We know that the blocking's going to be done in front of him, and we know that the quarterback's going to deliver the ball where he's supposed to deliver. And when you execute at that level, you have confidence.
Does it go the other way too? Is that some of the issue with Jay, that inconsistency? Because negative plays breed more negative plays, and it only takes one play to get that cycle started.
Absolutely.
Aaron, why is Elshon Jeffrey not as effective this year? It seems like those, you know, throwing the ball up and letting him make that, I guess, high point catch or whatever, just for whatever reason, not working as well this year. Is there any particular reason why that hasn't been as effective this year as it was last year?
I'm all for it. I'm all for him having that production and going up and getting those balls, and we're going to continue to throw those balls to him and allow him that chance to get it.
You talked about confidence already, Aaron. Is it Jay not trusting himself or the guys around him?
You'd have to ask Jay that. I believe he trusts the guys around him. You know, he's had obviously a lot of offensive line changes this year. And hopefully he trusts those guys, because I trust them. And I think they do a good job if he, you know, just step up in the pocket and as many times as he can. And it's pretty quiet in there.
How much do you think those shifts on the offensive line and the inevitable changes due to injuries have disrupted things, I guess?
Well, there's, you know, obviously it's going to disrupt some, because it's not the same guys you're used to seeing each week. And in my opinion, you ought to trust a guy until he fails you, and I think that's what we're aiming at, and we need to keep doing it and keep selling it and keep watching our good plays and keep correcting our plays that aren't so good. And when you're a football coach and a football player, the most important thing you can do, like I said in the beginning, is just be concerned with what is important to you. And obviously it's a team sport and you need to work together, but make sure that you're on point with your job and go back to work on the things that you think you need to work on. And you just keep doing that over and over until it gets right.
Jay brought up after the game how practice was so good last week for it not to translate. Mark's brought it up, good practices. Have you seen anything looking back at practices and why it's not translating?
I agree that the practices were good last week. I agree that I believe that going into the game we were ready to play. I agree that the plan was and will continue to be to stay balanced and do the things we need to do. And I think we always talk about, don't look at the scoreboard, don't worry about that, just play, run the football play and execute that play, and then worry about the next thing, the next thing.
That was made about the Packers moving Clay Matthews inside and the reaction and how you guys reacted to it. What impact did that have on the game plan, and how long did it take you to adjust?
I don't think it took us any time to adjust. We blocked him as the middle linebacker. They'd shown that in the past on passing downs, and they just did it on more times than they had in the past. I don't know that we needed to adjust one way or the other with that.
When you go back to when you said don't look at the scoreboard, just make the play, is that in trying to do too much? You know, if you look at the scoreboard, see you're down 14 at that point, trust the play that's called?
Yeah, that's one of the trust things you need to handle is block out everything else, and a play is called in the huddle. You're going onto the field for the next drive. You're going to get a football play called, and follow your rules and run the play and don't worry about anything else. And whether it be the noise, whether it be a thought of the last play or the play that's going to be next, just worry about that one play.
Aaron, are there times when looking at films you see that maybe Jay is throwing to the person he shouldn't throw to or the one you wouldn't want him to throw to?
I think in football in general, you know, there's going to be mistakes, and you have to be good enough to overcome those mistakes at times. Sometimes things just work out, and sometimes they don't. And I think they don't have worked out. You know, it's been more they don't than they have this year, and I think we can right that. I think we can make that correction. So. Guys miss blocks or guys don't catch a ball and then you have to overcome that. And I think it happens at times. And it happens with Jay.
I'm sorry. How much of that, though, Sam, became a wrong read on that second down on the city?
Jay's done a good job with check downs. And when they're covering our receivers and Forte's open, he's caught a lot of balls this year for that reason. And read-wise, you know, it's no more than anybody else. You know, it's no more than a guy using his hand placement wrong on a block or a receiver, you know, running a route at 11 yards instead of 12.
Aaron, sorry to belabor this point. I know it's been made, but Josh Morgan said last week, he said it's in our heads. It's all in our heads. And it sounds like a lot of what you're saying is that it's a mental hurdle that this offense has to get over. Is that true? And does that, I guess the bigger question is, does that make coaching more difficult when it's kind of a mental thing that you've got to get over?
Coaching is teaching, so we'll continue to teach. Coaching is motivating, so we'll continue to show them that they can. And that's the approach we'll take, and we'll keep doing it.
But is it a mental? Do you feel like you've got to – That analysis is accurate. It's in our heads.
Football is mental. Football is mental toughness. It's mental stability. It's resiliency in a game or in a play, and going to the next play. So all those things are a factor, and that's where you know we have to get better at that. Yeah, you know, we got stuck quickly when we obviously have every intention of scoring on your first drive. We take the ball and we're intending to score. We get behind the chains and we don't. As long as we are in a game, we're going to stay as balanced as we can, yes. And we got out of that game quickly. And it wasn't as balanced as it could have been if the game would have been different.
How much of a force is Barr in that defense? How much do you have to account for him? Anthony Barr?
Yeah, Anthony Barr is a talented young man. I mean, I can see why they drafted him in the first round. When you watch him on tape, he plays like a veteran already. He's a physical, fast, instinctive player, and we definitely need to account for him.
Coach, getting back to mistakes, to the untrained eye, it seems like Jay is kind of making the same mistakes game after game. Is that accurate? Is that inaccurate? Does he seem to be learning from some of the mistakes he's making?
Yeah, absolutely. And then, like I said, like I always say, it's not always one guy. And the more we work together, the more we work at it, the more we'll have confidence with each other, and more success we'll have.
Aaron, why did Santonio Holmes not work out? It seemed like he had some success early, and Jay, and he just could not build on that.
Santonio Holmes has been a very, very good football player over the years. And the fact is, Santonio Holmes was not on a team when we picked him up, correct? So we brought him in, and we needed him as a punt returner, and we needed him as a backup wide receiver, and we used him as that. No other intentions were thought prior to him getting here. And we got out of Santonio Holmes what we wanted to get out of Santonio Holmes. Marquise Wilson is back. And so we needed a roster spot. And Santonio Holmes was a upstanding citizen here. He was a joy to be around. He was a model teammate. And it's just we needed a roster spot for Marquise Wilson, and we felt like that was the best person to do it with.